Good to see everyone here this morning. I want to thank Roger for singing that song. I didn't know he was going to do that, but that is my all-time favorite song, and I really enjoyed it. So this morning, the message today is based on a passage that Dennis read from us this morning in Ephesians, the second chapter, in verses 2 through 8. And it's one of my favorite subjects in the New Testament, one that needs to be repeated occasionally, and of how grace and works go together. And so my topic is, as you see there, the gospel of good works. And so this morning I've jotted down a lot of scriptures to refer to, and you'll see the scriptures on the screen, but just the headings of them, and I'll just probably, instead of reading each one, I'll probably just paraphrase the majority. And all the scriptures that I look at will be NIV, because that's the version that we have under our seats, and I think that's the version that the majority of the congregation currently uses. And when you look at that Ephesians 2 and verses 8 through 10, it just tells us the latter part of it is that we are created in Christ for good works. And I want to thank Lynette, because she got that on the bulletin. Front of the bulletin, that we are God's handiwork and we are created in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, to do good works. And so we're going to talk about that for a little bit this morning, but first, would you bow with me? Our dear and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day that you have given us, and we just thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us each day of our lives. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll be with us this morning as we look into your word and the words that Jesus has taught us and his apostles, that we can just use them to guide us and to guide our lives, and that we might try to be more like your son, Jesus. We just ask that you bless us and each one of us as we go into this new week, and guide us in all that we do, and forgive us because we come up short so often. We thank you again for Christ and pray this in his name. Amen. So the next frame on the screen here, you call them frames? Well, whatever. But anyway, the gospel of good works makes it very clear here. It tells us that we're not saved by works. You cannot work your way into heaven. Our scripture reading this morning, again, made that clear. And it starts out, for grace you have been saved. One of the scriptures listed on the screen here is Titus 3, 4 through 7 tells us this, that it was the goodness and loving kindness of God that our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of the deeds we have done in righteousness, but because of his mercy, that we are heirs in hope of eternal life. So, you know, that always sort of brings up a question to me, and I think about this often, because have you ever met anyone who believes that all you have to do is to lead a good life, be nice to other people, do good deeds, and that will get you to heaven? But you don't need to be baptized. You don't need to commit yourself to worship every Sunday. You don't need to attend worship services and all those things. Good people with good works will not enter into heaven, according to the scripture, unless they obey what the Bible teaches. Good intentions are not acceptable. The Bible makes that very clear. And we are saved by grace, but then the key is on this next frame is we are saved for one reason. We are saved to do good works. That's what we're supposed to do. When we come out of the water of baptism, our sins have been washed away, and we are saved for a reason. Ephesians 2:10 states a reason. For we are his workmanship, like it says on the front of our bulletin. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So becoming a Christian is just the beginning of a mission to do good works. And since the New Testament does not provide a retirement plan for us, that sort of means we got to do this all of our lives, you know, until we kick the bucket. There's no excuses. Everyone can do something. And regardless of age, regardless of capabilities, even if it's just a phone call, that's a good work. When you lift somebody up because they're feeling down or they're ill, you've done a good work. So it just simply means we all can do something. Titus, on the screen, Titus 2, 14 through 11 tells us how that we should live sober, upright, and godly lives, submissive to authority. And the passage ends with, I desire to you to insist upon these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to good works. These are excellent and profitable to men. And Titus 3:14, and let our people, you and I, learn to apply ourselves in doing good deeds. So the Bible teaches that we're not saved by good works, but we're created to do something. We need, as Christians, to be busy. It don't mean you have to do good deeds all the time. It means you need to do something. So the next one's the purpose of good works. Now, I've listed a few of them here, and I'll just go down them. And I've listed five reasons, and I'll just touch briefly on each one of them. And the first one is that the purpose of good works is to bring glory to God. You find that in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and 14 through 16. And that is a parable that Jesus had taught. And you remember the parable where Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Don't hide yourself under a bushel basket or something. You need to, you are the light of the world. Let it shine all that they may see your good works and give glory to God. You can only be the light that Jesus speaks of here if you're doing something, if you're doing good works. The second one here is the purpose of good works, they make us more like Jesus. Luke 6:40 tells us a disciple is not above his teacher, but when fully taught, he'll be like his teacher, Jesus that is. And Acts 10:38 tells us how Jesus went about doing good. Since he's our teacher, then we need to do what he has told us to do. The third one is, they demonstrate living faith. James 2:14 through 17 and verse 20 and 24, these verses talk about faith without works. Matter of fact, faith without works is dead. You can't have faith and do nothing. You can't be baptized, come up out of the water, and just sit there, oh, I'm saved, that's it. You need to do something. And that's what the Bible was teaching us. It tells that we'll be justified by work and not by faith alone. The fourth one is that they help unbelievers believe. And you'll see some verses up there, 1 Peter 2:12 and chapter 3 and 1 through 2. And it just talks about that your conduct is so important if you wish to reach others. It also talks about husbands and wives and how they treat each other. You know, your family, your friends, and neighbors know what kind of the person you are when it comes to doing works. Being the kind of person that you should be will give you opportunities to tell others about Christ. Invite them to services, those sort of things. Not to mention how young children are easily impressed. So your actions are so important as you go through your day-to-day living. The last one I have on the purpose of good works is they meet urgent needs. Titus 3:14 says, "And let our people," that's you and I, "learn to apply ourselves to good deeds so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful." So what I'm saying is it takes a little effort to do these things, and we should always look for opportunities. On the very bottom of the screen, I inserted the reminder here that we belong to Christ for good works. So then this next screen here is, I've listed a list of, I believe there are six good works that we should do. So I'd like to go down those, because the Bible comes right out and says, well, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. And it doesn't mean that we all can do the things that I've listed, but you can pick out something you can do and do it. That's all I'm saying. Now, here's the list that the Bible says we should do. The first one that comes up is care for widows and orphans. And James 1:27 says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep yourself unstained from the world." Something we can do. And Acts, another one here is Acts, Acts 9, 36 through 39 basically tells us about a lady in Joppa. I'm sure you remember Tabitha. And she was known for all her good works and for all her charities, and people loved her. Well, something happened to her. She fell sick. And she died. So the people in that area sent for the Apostle Peter, who was not far away, and he came, and what happened? Raised her from the dead. The point is, they probably would not have sent for Peter had she not been the kind of person that she was. The second one I have on here is support the weak. This is what the scripture tells us. All three verses tell us to help weak people who can do very little and to admonish the idlers. That is, those the scripture says too lazy to work. Encourage the faint-hearted and be patient with all of them. This is certainly, I was just thinking of the right words, this is a good works attitude. This is the kind of attitude you ought to have. You know, some of these people that I just named, you might not be too patient with, but Scripture says as Christians, we ought to be patient with them. The third one is to visit the sick. I've listed some scriptures on there, and the passage in Luke, give Jesus as our example. You know, he never turned away. James 5:14-15 says, "Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." It is the responsibility of each of us to visit the sick. Especially when a brother or sister is ill at home or hospital or needs something. We need to be there. That is a wonderful good work. It's always, you know, it's always uplifting if you've ever been in the hospital. It's always uplifting to get a visit, isn't it? It just makes you feel better knowing that someone cares for you and they stop by and take the time to pray with you. This is certainly an area that we need to consider and work on. Another one that's interesting here is entertaining strangers. The one verse that always got my attention is found in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, in verse 2, because it states, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for whereby some have entertained angels unawares." Always thought that was an interesting verse and sort of scary. Does that still happen today? I don't know. It's in the New Testament. And it tells us that. So I have to believe it. We know that we are tested as Christians, and this verse tells me that I need to do a better job. Especially when we have visitors to our service. I think it would behoove all of us if we would work on that. I know I fall short. I can't say you guys need to do it. I need to do that. You have someone visiting with us that's just going through or something? Why not take them to lunch? Do something like that, you know. Things we just need to work on and things that we needed to be reminded about. The 5th one I have on here is remember prisoners. Now, that's hard for us to do. Because I've known in the past I have tried to visit prisoners and you can't get in. First of all, the prisoner has to write a letter saying, "I want Bill Hayes to visit me." And then not everyone can go. I think just probably ministers can go. But like I said, these things that I'm listing, it's not for all. Everyone can't do all of these, I don't think. But everyone can do something. That's the whole point. Perhaps our new minister, he might be able to visit prisoners occasionally. I think it behooves the congregation collectively to try to do something in each one of these areas, since the New Testament tells us to do this. The last one here is to share your wealth. Doesn't mean you have a lot of money. It just means that you're willing to share what you do have. Hebrews 13:16 tells us that sharing, even to the point of sacrificing, is pleasing to God. And 1 Timothy 6:16 through 19 tells us to be rich in good deeds, liberal and generous, laying up a good foundation for your future. And you know what the future is in the Bible. Our future home. At the bottom of the screen is 1 Timothy 3:16 through 17, that we need to be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. And it means we need to know the scriptures. We need to know what the Lord expects of us. And then we'll be equipped to go out and do these things. You know, there are certain verses in the Bible that always stick with you. I have a bunch of them that always sticks with me. But when I'm talking about this, there's one, and I know I've mentioned this in class before a lot of different times. I didn't put it on the screen. But it's found in Revelation 14:13. And it's a rather long verse. But the end of the verse says that your works, I sort of paraphrase this, your works will follow you all the way to heaven. So what's that imply? That implies you as a Christian need to be doing good works. And Revelation also tells us, and on that judgment day, the books will be opened. First of all, is your name there? I don't know what is going to be in those books, other than I just hope my name's there. But maybe your good works are listed there too. So you can see the necessity, the importance of having good works. On the next frame, the gospel of good works. Here it tells us in Galatians 6, 9 through 10, let us not grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And I think that's so important that we need to do that. In other words, do these things, the ones that you're capable of, do them consistently, but make a special effort when it comes to your brothers and sisters. Sort of like, if there's something you have to do and you have to make a choice between someone who's not a brother or sister and a brother or sister, they come first. That's what the Bible is teaching us. So make a special effort to take care of your brothers and sisters and their families. They're part of your church family. Because it says, and that's a command, let us do good to the household of faith. If we care for each other to that extent, think of the message that sends out into the community and how it will strengthen the church. This next to the last screen reminds us that we are saved by grace through the washing of regeneration. I have some verses down there. I won't be reading those this morning, but the four verses listed talks about the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which was poured out through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Mark 16:16 simply says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. So that makes it pretty clear. So this morning, I thank you very much for your attention this morning, and I hope this presentation has helped us to see the importance and the need for doing good works. And remember, it's actually a command. We are created to do this, to bring glory to God, and we'll all benefit in some way. Lastly, as we always offer the invitation, this is the steps that, you know, the Bible tells us about. We hear the word. We believe what we have heard. We repent that from our sins. We want to make a change. We want to turn away from the type of person we are and follow Jesus. We confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God in front of everyone. We're baptized, as Acts 2:38 tells us. And when we come up out of the water and walk out, we're a new person. But that's only the beginning. We need to remain faithful as Revelation, as Jesus himself in the letters to the seven churches, he says, remain faithful and do good works. So this morning, you have the opportunity to come forward and to become a follower of Jesus. And if you have any other requests, please come forward as we stand and sing.